Yo, what is up? You have found We Like the Blazers. I am your host, Ryan Witty Whitledge. And on the other side of the screen and in your ears is the beautifully toned with some perfectly coiffed hair today, who just showed me some random chest area. But Mr. Brandon Goldner, how you doing, Goldner?
Yo, what's up, Ryan? I'm not showing you random chest area. My black V-neck t-shirts, man. Look at the size of this hole. This is like that episode of Seinfeld when George stretched out the neck hole on the dude's sweater. I don't know what's going on here. Every time if I wear these shirts in public now, I have to literally like go like this and then tuck it in the back, like in the back of my pants, just to get a normal neckline. So I'm overdue for some t-shirts.
It's a bit excessive. It's kind of that hippie style where it almost looks, or like where you're going for like the off the shoulders look.
Right. Maybe I want it to be like this. Obviously people listening can't see it, but like this, even that's a little much. Anyway,
have you thought about what's going on? You know how girls, when they wear like somewhat slightly revealing dresses just to save themselves, they use I don't know if there's a technical term for it, so just boob tape. Have you thought about getting some boob tape for your V-neck on your shirt?
What if I just wore it like this?
I would be as deeply disturbed as that V-neck was.
That's so fair. Yeah, no, things are good, man. It's a spring day in Oregon. I actually like that it's not 80 degrees. I appreciate the kind of sun to cloud, some rain, some sun, some clouds. It's 55. Perfect bicycling weather. So yeah, man, I'm doing good. How are you?
And looking at 70s all weekend. I'm doing all right. I'm a little rough because we were in this super awesome sweet spot in our podcast where you were doing nothing but telling me that I was right. And I'm not going to lie, personally, that is my favorite area of the podcast to be in, is I'm constantly right. You constantly tell me that. It's words of affirmation. It builds me up. I love it. So it really pains me right now to have to say, son of a bitch, Goldner, you are right. And I owe you lunch. Yeah. Because on last week's episode, I assumed that over the last four games of the season, the Blazers would find their way to stumble bass-ackwards into at least one win. Now, I will say, monetarily wise, I'm feeling fantastic. Under 22.5, that was a great bet. Feel fantastic about that. That does mean
nice job.
I can't afford to take you out on lunch. But verbally on this podcast, bragging wise or whatever, it always pains me when I have to give one back to you. And the Blazers went 0-4 to finish out the season. So, you know,
I need more.
I started the podcast off by saying you have beautiful hair. I just told you you're right. I've mentioned giving you flowers at least three times. What more do you want?
You also mentioned my cleavage because of my unnecessarily dippy V-neck t-shirt. Thank you. I appreciate it. Listen, man, we've all entered the Cron zone. Okay. Joe Cronin working his magic, the Blazers, as you said, stumbling their way into losses that we didn't even think were possible. And having Victor Wembanyama, shout out to him, actually wants to win, although he didn't even play that final game that they beat Detroit. But beating the Denver Nuggets, inexplicably beating the Denver Nuggets in order to catapult the Spurs all the way into fifth best lottery position, and the Charlotte Hornets inexplicably winning their game, even though they were trying as hard as they could to tank. They could not outtake. There was something funky going on in the Eastern Conference where the team, damn it, I should have had this ready. The team that they were playing, I was listening to a different podcast about it. The team that they were playing was tanking even harder than the Hornets were tanking. And so therefore, we'll talk about this more in a second. The Blazers find themselves tied for third best lottery odds. Ryan, does this mean that the franchise is going to be a title contender next year?
Oh my God, get off, get away.
Listen, man.
So by the way, you know, lottery odds themselves have been massively confusing a little bit over like the last couple seasons, as we're all getting used to like, hey, the top three, if you end up there in the ping pong balls, you know, it's weighted this way or whatever. Throwing in tiebreakers and having to say like, hey, so by the way, if there's a tiebreaker between two teams, they split the odds, but the like tenth of a percentage point is given out via coin flip. Yeah, I don't need I don't need this amount of math in my fandom. I watch basketball for a reason, and it's because it's not baseball.
All I have to say is that I'm really glad that they combine the odds. This is great, right? Because I mean, knowing the Blazers, if they actually tied, which they did, if they had tied with the Charlotte Hornets and had flipped a coin for third and fourth best odds rather than combining the odds, we all know the Blazers wouldn't have gotten it. It would have been a bummer, and we would have been crying. And oh my, well, hold on, Ryan, breaking news. Some breaking news. I need you to listen closely to this.
Remix fans, it might surprise you to learn that there's another basketball team in Portland, and We Like the Blazers is a weekly podcast that brings you all the energy, excitement, and passion you'd expect from two guys who love basketball. Find We Like the Blazers on any podcatcher or go to weliketheblazers.com to learn more.
Oh my God.
We Like the Blazers hitting the big time. Sorry.
I love the fact, and I know this is an audio medium, but for one, that is the world's best read on like the announcer voice. Like I don't know the name.
We really made it.
Who does the TV voice of the Rip City Remix? But I feel as though one of us needs to shoot that man an email and see if he wants to come up with a custom intro for us, because that is fantastic. I am a big sucker for the old timey, like almost 1950 style, you know, announcer kind of thing. The like, hello, come on down kind of thing. And he very much had that to it.
I believe that is great. Our friend and yours, Gareth Kwok, who is obviously in his first year doing play-by-play for the Rip City Remix, because it's the first year of the Rip City Remix. But really quickly to Gareth, he's 24 years old. So
he
like shout
24?
Out to he's 24.
He
so
has
like
the golden tones of like a seasoned vet.
Remember though, how old was Kevin Calabro when he first took the Seattle Supersonics job? Because he was doing Sonic stuff in like the late 80s. And so he must have been in, I think that Calabro was in his late 20s, mid to late 20s. So just really quick, despite being 24 years old, he's in his fifth season calling baseball. He's done stuff for the AA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. He's also done stuff for Arizona State, men's and women's basketball on the Sun Devil Radio Network. So anyway, shout out to Gareth, making us sound good. And by the way, yes, that was in fact broadcast on TV. If you were watching the remix, you got a commercial for We Like the Blazers. Ryan, I'm loving it. This is great stuff.
I'm going to need to, for one, you're going to need to send me the link to that, because I need to Sabruder film this, because I believe when I just watched that, there were crowd shots, and I need to know what type of individuals were in the crowd that are now.
Well, they
forever
heard We Like the Blazers and they went nuts. No, just kidding.
Are for now forever associated. Like, how many nose pickers are there? Who is chugging a beer? Any couples making? I need to Zapruder film this. That's all I know. So send me that link and I'm going to do a detailed breakdown.
Done. I just forwarded it to you. Shout out to the remix. They gave people the opportunity for a very reasonable price to purchase some ad space. And of course, we just had to do it to him, Ryan. But I'm with you. I do appreciate a good old time radio voice. And listen, we make fun of it, but it's true. Like, this is for another day. When we have Michael, you might know him on Twitter as Berlacious M. He is the announcer for the Winterhawks, the Portland Winterhawks, the ice hockey team. That enunciation, Ryan, when you're speaking quickly, when you only have audio as a medium, you need to be able to enunciate very clearly and make distinctions between your words, because if you don't do that, people don't understand what you're saying. So I'm not doing a great job of it, but like, look, there's a madness behind method behind the madness is what I'm trying to say.
Nice. So
wait, question,
on.
Isn't your mic is not muted and though, but it's red. Oh, it's red when it's on. Is red on?
Correct.
Sorry.
On.
Off.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. I thought red meant off and I could still hear you. No. And I thought maybe I am going insane.
Even my blazer colors in my little office, my microphone still adheres to them. It is a black microphone with a red light.
I love it.
I am nothing. I'm not consistent, but no, I was going to ask. So heading into today's episode, blazer season is mercifully, thank God, finally over. I did intend to watch the Kings game until I remembered that the NBA puts all of their last season games like super early. And so my son just turned 13 this past weekend and he had his birthday party conveniently timed to start at 12:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. So, admittedly, I did not watch any of that last game. I did follow along
really quick, just to reiterate a point you just made. The NBA scheduled all 30 teams to play either at 9:30 or 12:30 Pacific, all on the same day. Good job, NBA.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Tone it back. Like, if you want to be like, hey, everybody wants to go to bed on the East Coast, knowing all of the outcomes and playoff matchups and play-in stuff, sure, have your last game tip at like, or have a series of games tip at 4:30 in the afternoon. So they get like their matinee kind of thing. But,
I also wonder if they were trying to limit like the funny business of teams seeing what happened with other teams. And, but I mean, they were still,
wasn't that a very conscious change that they made? I want to say like 4 years ago, something.
I don't know, but to my point earlier, Ryan, the Hornets were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Cavaliers were tanking in order to get a more favorable position, I think, to avoid Philadelphia. But like the Cavaliers were rolling out people we had never heard of.
And again, like the Blazers
losing to the Charlotte Hornets, who, like the Blazers, won a scant 21 games out of an 82 game season, Ryan. Difficult to do. So
right,
like
along my expectations.
I'm proud of you. I only wish that you had bet your light savings on that so that you could have taken us out to multiple
matches. $27. What do you mean?
Oh my goodness. I interrupted you badly.
I was gonna say there's two kind of roads I want to go down. I just kind of want to see which one you want to start on. So the NBA season's over. We have the playoff schedule in front of us.
Country road.
Play-in games are coming up. Do you want to talk about that first, or do you want to start off with Blazers exit interviews and then go into like a league-wide look on the playoffs?
First of all, I want to commend you for totally ignoring my singing. That was well done. I, of course, was trying to sing.
Well over a year into us podcasting, I've become an expert at ignoring you when I want to.
It's been like, how long have I been doing this for 3 years at this point? It's been a while.
If like, we only have 85 episodes out in 3 years, we really need to step it up.
Hey, we're back on a weekly rotation. Why don't we start with exit interviews? Because Ryan, there's a lot of juice in that apple. And I would like to start, unless you want to start somewhere else, with Coach Chauncey Billups.
I think that's a good place to start. Because he made some news right before exit interviews with his Hall of Fame stuff that he mentioned during like his coming into the Basketball Hall of Fame and like his outlook for the team and what he wants to do. And I think he kind of touched on some of that stuff again in his exit interview. So let's start with him. Let's get the hot button topic out of the way.
I want to begin by tempering my takes. I recognize that Blazers players, coaches, front office, we're all people. They're human. We're human. And when I criticize Chauncey Billups, the coach, I'm criticizing his coaching as an NBA coach. And it is not a criticism of Chauncey Billups, the person. I do want to add a caveat, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say that there was quite a bit of controversy when he was hired because of Chauncey Billups, the person, being credibly accused of sexual assault. And we don't need to go into that because it's been litigated. But so just in case you think he's ignoring that. Like, I'm not ignoring that. I get that complicates things. However, Ryan, I do want to stick to sports and stick to his performance as a coach. And I want to get your take on this. I want to get your take on this specific comment. And I get that cherry picking can sometimes be a little bit fraught and maybe potentially unfair, mm-hmm. but from Chauncey Billups, quote, "I'm light years ahead of where I was," end quote. Do you agree with Chauncey Billups's self-assessment that he has grown, gotten better, developed, shown progress as a coach. I'm just curious if you agree with his self-assessment of himself.
I'd be remiss as if I did not throw some fake news at you.
And
offer a correction on your behalf, because his full quote was, "I am light years ahead."
No. Hold on, I cut it there on purpose, Brian. No, listen to me. Listen,
you cannot openly state.
Out of context is fine. I technically am quoting him. You cannot do this to me.
You cannot put an end, Mr. Journalism person over there. You cannot put an end quote when you intend to go back to the other part of his quote.
I feared you would do this to me. Okay, give the full context.
Okay, it is, I am light years ahead of where I was, but I also have a lot to work on as a coach.
He
is light years ahead of where he thought he was going to be, if that's how he means this, or where he was when he started. Did he start coaching as a toddler? Because I will admit, I am the world's biggest Chauncey apologist. I like to kick the can down the road and say, you know, I will be the first to point out that, like, so far, I don't feel as though he's been given, like, I don't think this is the job that he interviewed for. I don't think even in year one that it was fully the job that he interviewed for. I think it has changed every single year. But I am finally coming around to the rest of you guys in, I just don't think he's a good coach.
He's not a good man. He's not a good coach. And listen,
he doesn't have a philosophy. He doesn't have like a general, he's not like imparting his identity on the team. He seems to let the team impart their identity on him. And one of the biggest things or best examples of that is especially back when Dame was here, and he, for some ungodly reason, said, we're going to move away from just Dame pick and roll with Nurk, even though Dame and Nurk were the best pick and roll duo in the NBA. It is where Dame absolutely shines. Instead of trying to come up with creative ways and creative actions in which he could run the other three players on the floor, he just said, nah, we're going to get rid of the Dame and Nurk pick and roll. And the offense fell through a fucking hole, at which point then he let the team basically, okay, we have to go back to doing this. He's not imparting his will on the team. He's letting the team impart their will on him. And I think that is a very big weakness as a coach. You know, there's one thing about being a player's coach and having the player's ear. There's another thing about like having those things, but being able to get them to do the things you want to do. And what I have seen in these, you know, in these years of his coaching tenure so far has been that he's just kind of like a boat listlessly floating in the ocean. He doesn't have the engine power or the rudder power to fully steer. You know, the best he can do is kind of like, I don't know, get an oar out there and hope that he's kind of turning it and
Scott
it's making
Brooks
a difference.
Are kind of, yeah, they're paddling.
Yeah. And that's another thing, like his coaching tree itself. Like I thought for sure that having Scott Brooks as his head assistant would, you know, maybe help steer him in a better direction. You know, his assistant tree in general.
Wait a minute. Ryan, hold on. Did you just say Chauncey Billups' coaching tree? What are we talking about? He's not even a ficus plant. There's no coaching bush. There's no coaching seedling.
His tree is everybody who is currently working as an assistant under him.
He's a branch.
I will at least say, based off that quote, I'm glad that he acknowledges that he has a lot of work left to do as a coach. I'm just curious about starting this work.
I'm about ready to explode here, brother.
Do it.
Listen,
I called you out on your incorrect journalism.
First of all, fuck you very much for getting ahead of the context, which I was going to provide after you answered the original question, you son of a gun. But second of all, even if he says, I have a lot to work on, that's great. What he's saying and what my question was, is he's saying he has grown, progressed, shown development as a coach. When you say I'm light years ahead, you're not even just saying I've grown. You're saying I've grown a lot. I've shown a lot of progress. It sounds like you don't agree with that. Neither do I, and neither does anyone else. To your point,
he would show progress compared to if a 3-year-old child had been hired as the coach of the Blazers. And is he doing better than a 3-year-old child?
Well, he wasn't hired as a 3-year-old child. He was hired as a, you know, so
like I can't imagine that you go into an interview to be a head coach and with whatever crystal ball you would have, see how everything is as of when this season ended and be able to tell them that at the end of these 3 years, I'm going to be light years ahead of where I am now. And that light years ahead is this.
I mean, are his out of timeout plays better? Are his defensive philosophies, you know, more consistent, more baked in? Are they identifiable? Has he gotten creative with
more for the offense than I do the defense?
Has he gotten creative with the offense? Has he shown, given the limited parts he's been given, which is fair, that he's able to take those parts and make them more than the sum of their parts? He has not, Ryan, he hasn't shown. I haven't.
No.
Where's the growth? What growth?
He hasn't taken a single player that he has had on his roster and found ways to maximize or their talents. Just going back to like the Damian Lillard thing, he tried to take him away from the pick and roll. Jeremy Grant is good at a lot of things. Jeremy Grant should not be the one that is dribbling the ball a la CJ McCollum until he's got to take a shot in the shot clock. He has not done anything to help maximize the talent and the skill level of the players on his team. And that is one thing that a coach can help do.
Here's what I want to ask you, and I'm going to go through a list of coaches who are younger than Chauncey Billups. Okay. Chauncey Billups is 46. In coaching context, that's, you know, pretty young in your career at that point, right? Like,
God, I did not realize we were all that close to him in age.
It's terrifying. And we will scream about that another day, but Ryan, I'm going to run through the list of coaches who are younger than Chauncey Billups. I want you to tell me if you would take Chauncey Billups over any of these coaches who are younger than him. Okay. Will Hardy with the Utah Jazz.
Thank you for providing teams, because
I'm going to provide teams so we know who we're talking about. The Utah Jazz, their head coach is Will Hardy. He is 36 years old.
Ooh, okay. I was giving up. God, okay.
Would you take Chauncey Billups over Will Hardy?
No.
The Boston Celtics, their head coach, his name is Joe Mazzulla. Boston Celtics, probably the best team in the league. Best regular season, yes. Maybe the title favorites. Joe Mazzulla is also 34. Would you take Billups over Mazzulla?
Yes. Quick side note on that. No. My side note is that wasn't Mazzulla also an unproven, had only been an assistant for a short time type of person when he got elevated
and then he earned his way into the role because he was performing well. Correct. He took a veteran team and they overperformed.
I'm just saying. So like, just if we're comparing to Chauncey, I do feel as though it is important to say that Joe Mazzulla cut his teeth the way that we all hoped Chauncey would have cut his teeth with the Blazers. Just Chauncey, that was a swing and a miss. Mazzulla, that's a home run.
You would take Chauncey Billups over Joe Mazzulla?
No,
oh, okay.
No,
thank
no,
you.
I would not.
I just wanted to
preface that they,
fair enough.
You know.
Okay. Ty Lue is the coach of the Clippers, the mentor to Chauncey Billups. Ty Lue is a year younger than Chauncey Billups. Would you take Billups over Ty Lue?
Why are you hesitating?
The answer is no.
Because I hate Ty Lue. I hate him with a passion.
But he's a good coach.
He's right up there with Doc Rivers for me. Sure,
he's a better coach than Doc Rivers. He's more innovative. He's had more consistent success. He's had, like, the reasons why the Clippers haven't succeeded are literally due to injury and almost nothing else. You may not like him. He's a better coach. I'm not going to let you answer this.
Yeah. I'm begrudgingly saying I'll take Ty Lue, but it pains my soul to say those words out loud on a recorded medium.
The Memphis Grizzlies, their head coach, his name is Taylor Jenkins. Taylor Jenkins. The Oklahoma City Thunder with front runner coach of the year, Mark Daigneault, who is 37. Would you take Billups over him? No. Okay. We're moving on.
That one's hard. That one's hard.
What? No, it's not. It's not hard. Why is it hard? What are you talking about?
That's a coin flip. That's coin flip for me.
Shut up. Oh my God. No, no. Okay.
Here we go. Here we go. Swap their coaching roles. I think Chauncey might be able to fall bass backwards into a top four seed.
It's not just about what the Thunder have done this year. It's what they have done in previous years. And that is Mark Daigneault's influence.
I'm just saying, I think if you were to swap coaches,
the number one seed in the conference, Ryan.
Great. And you can maybe drop them three spots. That one's a coin flip for me. I think Chauncey could get that team to do good stuff. Even if
I just on your back shelf there, the absinthe, it looks like the liquid level has dropped since we began recording here. Cleveland Cavaliers, JB Bickerstaff is 43 years old. Would you take Billups over Bickerstaff?
I love me some Bickerstaff.
Okay. The Orlando Magic, Jamal Mosley. He's 44. Would you take Billups over Mosley?
No.
We're running out of names here. We've got one name left, and it's the New Orleans Pelicans, who are currently playing the Los Angeles Lakers in the 7-8 play-in game, 9 minutes left in the second quarter. The Lakers are up by 2 points. Chauncey Billups over Willie Green, the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans?
Coin flip again.
Fine. I think
the Pelicans should have been significantly better than a 7 seed.
I think you should be significantly better, Ryan, because the answer to all of these is no. You wouldn't take Chauncey Billups over any of the coaches who are younger than him. And he's sitting there saying he's light years better than he used to be. Give me a break.
In my defense, I only said I would take Chauncey over one of them, and that's because I hate Ty Lue with a passion, and the other two were coin flips.
Mark Daigneault is a coin flip, as I urge you to either watch more Thunder games or to listen to some national NBA podcasts, because it's not just about the success of the team. It's how they're doing it. It's the systems he's put in place. It is the identity that they have formed. They're extremely young. It is very rare for a team this young to get the number one seed in a conference. It doesn't guarantee they're going to have playoff success, but it's very rare. That has something to do with the coaching.
Correct. But can I still channel my inner Mike Richmond of that?
No.
A coach decides who plays and when, the rest of it is the players. And that is why I believe that if Chauncey Billups was the coach of the Thunder, that team would still probably be a top 3 or 4 seed.
Okay, that's fine. You can be wrong about that. I'm totally fine with that. But all I'm saying, all I'm saying is that as Chauncey Billups is sitting on a podium, and you know, to his defense, what else is he going to say? Maybe my quibble is that he didn't have to say light years ahead. Maybe he could have said, hey, like, I'm learning
half a mile.
He just doesn't even need to put a distance, you know, measurement on it at all. But like, just for him to sit up there and say that he is demonstrably better as a coach now than he was, I don't see it. Anyway, so I think that we've talked about Chauncey Billups enough. Do you want to talk about any more of the exit interviews, Joe Cronin, any of the players, anything like that? There's plenty to talk about. One more thing that jumped out at me, unless you got something.
I think it should just be retired from the lexicon that a player is going to work on his shot. You should not be allowed to ask about that.
A player noted Jabari Walker hater, Ryan Whitledge.
I love me some Jabari Walker, my absolute favorite player on this team this year, hands down, close second to Monte Camaro. But I feel as though no player should ever be allowed to say that they are going to take the offseason and work on their shot. Great. That is one of the principal aspects of the sport in which you play. I would hope even if your shot is great, you're still taking the offseason to work on your shot. Let me see.
Yeah. So here's what I want to say. Like, Joe Cronin has gotten some heat for the way he approached this press conference. Some people called it Olshay-esque. Here's what I have to say. Like, any person who's a public figure who represents an organization, you're not going to go up there and be like, yeah, man, we sucked. I did terrible. Our team is shitty and we're tanking. Nobody's going to say that. And so the things that he did say, he said something that I appreciate. Said, we're not good enough yet. We don't have enough talent. He's right. He said, we have a lot invested in our young guys, and development's going to continue to be the focus. At the same time, we have to put those guys in the best environment. He's right. Because in order to develop players, you do, and this is Cronin's job, you need to provide them a system in which they can get better, if not thrive, where they can play with other competent players. They have people they can pass to. They have people who can make shots off of their passes. They have people who can help them on defense, right? Like, in order for players to develop, you do need something around them for those players to be able to work on the skills they need to get better as individuals. So, like, I don't think I have anything. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Joe Cronin, his grade as a Blazers GM is still incomplete. We don't know. Like, but so I personally, maybe I'm just like a Cronin apologist. I didn't see anything wrong with his comments personally.
I don't either. His one bugaboo that I'd give him is, you know, when he says up and down year, that there were promising stretches.
What was the up?
I want to know what's the up, bro? What's the up for him? The only other thing that really stuck out
with DeAndre Ayton played better at the end of the year, I guess, like maybe.
And he's the only other player that really had any quotes that stuck out with me, where he was saying that. Oh, where'd it go? Why? Hold on. I pressed a button. I lost the quote. Oh, wrong way. Stupid wheel. Do, please hold. No.
He's waiting, just a quick thing.
DeAndre Ayton, my first season here went amazing. Did it? Did it, bro? Did it? You couldn't even figure out how to purchase a mattress. What is your bar for amazing?
It wasn't amazing in its totality. DeAndre Ayton had a painfully average season for him. I do think when you look at it as two halves, you have one not great half and one really interesting, encouraging half of the season. And here's what I also want to say. I do want to credit DeAndre Ayton. As much as we heard from Phoenix fans, just wait until he comes to Portland. You're going to see why we hated him so much, because he gives up on plays and he mentally checks out. I didn't actually see that from DeAndre Ayton this year. Not even when he was playing poorly. I didn't see the types of shit that we saw of Yusuf Nurkic, where he would just like have three good games and then one game where he completely fell off the face of the earth. Those games do happen from time to time, but not with the regularity that we saw with Yusuf Nurkic, I don't think. And I have to credit DeAndre Ayton for coming into a losing environment after being in Phoenix that was a winner for a number of years while he was there, if not the beginning of his career, but for a number of years, coming into a losing environment and remaining motivated and frankly, like demanding that people give him the ball, and he was able to do something with it. And I thought that was really encouraging. So credit to him for that. That was cool.
Hopefully he played his trade value way the hell up, because
I want to disabuse you of the notion that the Blazers can trade him. They can't. He didn't play well enough to justify a max contract, even though he played well. He's going to be on Portland for a while.
But his season was amazing. He said it himself. Okay. His season was amazing. Trade high.
Let me ask you this. Well, he's 25. What's the matter with letting Scoot Henderson, with which he is developing chemistry, and Shaedon Sharpe, letting Ayton play with those guys? What's the matter with that?
I don't see a problem with it. I don't either. I'm going to caveat that. You can keep one. Ayton or Ant?
It's Ayton by 1,000. What are you talking about?
Okay.
What is every side? No, okay, no, we're going to talk fine. About this.
We're not going to talk about it. We will table this for later. I will just say I will at least agree with you on that front. Between the two, Ayton can stay, then Ant goes.
Maybe on a future podcast, but in
my personal opinion, you can't keep both for the primary reason of what you just said, of look at the chemistry that is starting to develop between Scoot and Ayton.
Go ahead.
One real quick thing I was going to say, because I wanted to touch on it, but we didn't when we were talking about Billups. And that was when Billups was coming up on getting inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. You know, he was running around doing his interview circuit. Obviously, he's not in the Basketball Hall of Fame as a great head coach, just in case anybody got that mistaken.
I saw someone defending him as like, oh, it's a Hall of Famer and you don't want him as your coach. Like, he's in the Hall of Fame for something, a completely different skill set.
A ton of players that are Hall of Fame players that I would want nowhere near that head coaching position. But anyways, and he was talking about his, you know, so far his coaching tenure on the Blazers and what he expects. And he had the balls to say that he fully expects this team to be competitive to the point of mid-range playoff seed. Like, that's not a direct quote. That's a summation, but that's about what he said. And I just want to know, what drugs are you taking, Chauncey? And please introduce us to your dealer, because they sound amazing.
I do think there's an art in what I said earlier about representing an organization as a public figure. There's
I don't think art... you should lie. We learned that from
Right. Well, correct. I think there's an art about how can you tell the a version of the truth that's not so far removed from reality while still supporting your organization, being a good ambassador for your organization. There's no reason to say that this team is a playoff team when they're not. And I don't
they need to stop putting like a next year or at the beginning of the season, this year.
I think what Cronin said was fine. He said, we don't have enough talent. That's what he said. He's right. Yeah. Like that's the truth. I mean, that's as close as you can come before you basically say, we need to tank for Cooper Flagg in 2025. It's about as close as you can come, yep. Which is the truth.
Scoot Sar Flagg, then I'll be happy. Well, and Sharp, sorry. Shane Sharp erasure right there.
I realize we're coming to the end of our time on this episode, but Ryan, is there anything else that you want to hit on really quick, just to mention before I give it to you?
Yes, I do. And okay. my thing is just, the overall, how do you feel like I'm going to assume, I don't know. How do you feel right now with this, how this NBA playoffs look? Are you excited? Are you not excited? Do you look at these matchups and you're like, oh my gosh, the West, this is going to be just absolutely insane. This crazy. Oh my gosh. The East is just so freaking loaded.
Yeah. I am excited. It? Yes. I'm excited for the playoffs. I think it's an interesting playoffs. I think there's quite a bit of parity. I think between Denver not being the number one seed, but being the returning champions and they are healthy, to the Oklahoma City Thunder are young and up and coming, and they did get the number one seed. What are they going to do? The Boston Celtics having the best regular season in the NBA. Are they finally going to get over the hump? And then you have teams like the aging Lakers. Can they come from the bottom of the bracket and bulldoze their way through all the way to the Phoenix Suns? Can Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant and Devin Booker actually get it together long enough to perform? And Joel Embiid coming off of injury for the Philadelphia 76ers. So yeah, man, this is interesting to me. I'm invested. And I was going to say at the beginning of the pod, I have had to relate myself as a Blazers fan differently to this season because I can't expect the team that I love, that I bleed for, that I have a disc golf disc hanging off of my light for. I can't expect them to win, Ryan. So I have to relate to basketball differently, and I'm having more fun with it. And yeah, I'm excited. So I'm not bullshitting. I'm excited for the playoffs. The end.
That makes one of us. I could not. What? There is not an intriguing really? Match. There is not a single intriguing matchup in the West. I will not watch probably a single game of Western Conference basketball until a Western Conference team is in the NBA Finals. The East
I'm
is
so
a hell
surprised
of a lot more
by
intriguing.
That. There's so much volatility, though. It's like the Clippers. We didn't even talk about the Clippers.
Clippers,
Kawhi
Mavericks.
Leonard, if he stays healthy, he can get to the finals by himself. He's
Clippers,
done it before.
Mavericks. I'm rooting for the Meteor.
Luka Doncic.
I hate Luka.
There's so
I hate
much
Luka.
Happening. I don't understand. Well,
there is no. I'm just leaving it at this. There is not a single intriguing matchup, no matter how these 9, 10, 7, 8 play-in games pair out. The closest we could get is that I'm super intrigued by the fact
this man's gone cuckoo.
If the Lakers and Nuggets meet up, I do think that the Lakers will have a little extra spark in the first round. And I find it hilarious that they'll be going up against the reigning champs. I cannot wait to see just the bad blood series is what I'm naming it of the Bucks and Pacers to see how that pairs out in the East.
That's and the one thing that bums me out is the Bucks.
I really, really hope that it ends up being the Celtics Sixers in that round. I understand that that means that the Sixers got to lose one, but still, I really hope that that means it.
I will say that, like, the one part that does bum me out are the Bucks look bad, and Giannis is not healthy, and he's not going to return for the first couple games of the first round. And also with calf injuries, thank God it wasn't his Achilles, but calf injuries are very...
Wasn't KD's Achilles right away?
They're very touchy. And also Damian Lillard, I believe in playoff Dame. Having said that, Ryan,
he does have the experience of carrying teams farther than they should go in the playoffs, and arguably he has a much better supporting cast in what's left on the Bucks than he's ever had with Portland. So
not even arguably, even without Giannis, the supporting cast makes more sense, is more coherent. I believe in playoff Dame, and Damian Lillard has not looked awesome. I manifest into being that the Bucks, it finally clicks. Doc Rivers gets out of his own way, or they ignore him. I don't even know what, because I frankly think Doc Rivers is not only the most overrated coach in NBA history, but frankly, just a below average coach, and has been for a while.
Your Doc Rivers is my Ty Lue.
We'll debate that a different time, but I'm bummed about the Bucks. I'm excited for the playoffs. I'm sorry that you're not. I'm right, you're wrong. Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
And if you want to reach out to us,
I'm right, you're wrong.
I'll just let that hang. If you want to reach out to us, you always can. You can do that at welikethablazers.com, or find us on Twitter at @likethablazers, or find me at @goldnerpdx, or him at @thewittyryan. Until next time, that's all we got for you. We appreciate you. We're going to be checking in with you every week during the playoffs, into the offseason and beyond. I am Brandon. That's Ryan. And go Blazers.
Ladies and gentlemen, go Trailblazers.